in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." Well, let me pray, and then we'll share a few thoughts. Thank you, Jesus, for a chance to listen for the voice of your Spirit this morning. Thank you for the fact that you speak into our lives. And so give us good ears this morning. Ears to hear not my words, but your words. I pray that for myself. That you would help me to attend to the things that you want to say to me. The things that you would have me say to these people. And may you receive all the honor and the glory. I pray this in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. When my first child was born, it was a long time ago. Okay? And so when she was first born, though, it was an event. She was born in October, like the 20th of October. I can remember things like that still. And in a couple months, it was going to be Christmas. And to experience Christmas with a new baby was going to be incredible, at least in my brain, it was going to be incredible. And so, you know, I was all set to kind of, you know, get her all the right kinds of things at Christmas, all those things that a newborn might need or want or desire. And yet she spent the whole Christmas in one of those little, what do they call those seat things? An infant seat. There is a name. An infant seat. She sat the whole infant seat day in that looking at the Christmas lights on the tree. That's how she spent her first Christmas. It was a bit disappointing to me, okay? I was looking for a little bit more, okay? So the second Christmas came around, and the second Christmas, we went all out. You might say we went a bit overboard, okay? We attempted to find every possible year-old appropriate gift you could buy for a child and get it for her, okay? And we told her grandparents, too. So we all kind of, it was a cumulative effort, you know. We all got together and said, we're getting her everything. And so when she woke up on Christmas morning, and she could walk at this point in time, when she woke up on Christmas morning and went into the living room, it was a myriad of boxes wrapped beautifully with ribbons and paper and just looked spectacular. But again, it was like sensory overload to a one-year-old. It was like, I'm not quite sure what to do with all this. And she didn't have any clue as to what to do with all of it. So we had to sit her down and actually show her what it meant to rip paper off boxes and rip ribbons off so she'd understand the concept, okay? And she did. She got that to some degree, okay? And she ripped paper off and ripped ribbons off, but that's as far as she got. She was completely enamored with that paper and the ribbon. She sat there crinkling up that paper. I think it was some sort of tactile experience. And then she'd get the ribbon and she'd pull it out and string it out and she'd look at the color and she'd go back to pulling out. I mean, I just sat there and two things became very evident to me. One was that she had no concept about gifts, okay, and what to do with them. The second was that I could have bought her three rolls of wrapping paper and a bag of ribbons and she would have been satisfied, okay? Now, there is that sense in all of us, I think, that to some degree we are confronted with a gift that we don't quite know what to do with. Christmas is about this gift that we receive, and Simeon is waiting for this gift. I think a lot of people find themselves disappointed at Christmas because it doesn't somehow meet the expectations of that gift they were hoping to get. And I'm not talking about some physical entity. I'm talking about the gift they were hoping to get of something that would satisfy the desire of their soul. And so they walk away still a bit empty from the experience. And I think what I'm confronted with is the fact that we forget that we were created with a particular longing and desire. And that longing and desire can't be satisfied by all the stuff that we find in this world. But that longing and desire can only be really satisfied when we begin to come to the one who gave to us the very gift we needed. The thing, the one, that consolation of Israel. I think there are things that we can learn from Advent and Christmas that aren't just about Advent and Christmas. I think there are lessons to be learned that carry us on into a new year, that carry us into the next place. And the better we learn the lessons, I believe the better we will find ourselves engaging with the life that stands before us. So I want to suggest three lessons from this passage this morning. Not real tough. You need to understand something. When I do this here at Escalon Presbyterian Church, every once in a while, whenever that strikes Troy to call me on the phone and say, would you do this, which was last week. So I always get a little thing from Joel about what the service order is. This week, Joel sent me a service order that gave me roughly 15 minutes to preach in. I have never preached 15 minutes in my life. And I'm not talking about trying to fill up the space. I'm talking about that's not quite as much time as I need. So I'm going to give you three things, and I'm going to try to do it quickly. So you have to listen quickly, okay? This is like turning something up to twice the speed. Thank you, Joel. Oh, the gifts we receive. An extra five. Okay, so three things. I'm going to give you these three words to kind of pay attention to. You don't have to write them down. Hopefully they are mnemonic devices that help you remember a bit more. The first one is we're going to talk about waiting appropriately. We're going to talk about welcoming appropriately. And we're going to talk about witnessing appropriately. And I'm going to try to do that all in a minute. Okay? So, here's the deal. The first thing that we learn from Simeon is it begins that Simeon is there and he's described as righteous, devout. The Holy Spirit is on him, and this thing is keep coming off my ear. Oh, maybe if I put it under my glasses. Okay. He's righteous, devout. The Holy Spirit's on him, and what is he doing? It says that he's waiting for the consolation of Israel. How many of you love to wait? Not me. Waiting is not something I do well. Okay. I mean, and there were so many places this Christmas season where I was called to wait. They were not things that I had planned. They were just there. It was the long line, it was the traffic, it was whatever it was that I was called to wait in. And what I discover in myself is that waiting is this amazing time that has possibility. And the possibility that God, I think, has in waiting for me is one, transformation, and one, preparation. So that I might be transformed in this moment. But in that transformation, the thing that happens in waiting in me is fascinating. Because it seems to surface all the garbage of my life in those moments of waiting. All my resentment about why am I here in this line, all the stuff of my impatience, my impulsive behaviors, my desire to run from the uncomfortable circumstances I'm in presently to find something else. It all gets surfaced in the waiting. And in that place of waiting, I can either attend to those things with Jesus, or I can try to attend to them with my control and my management skills. Waiting presents an amazing opportunity to be transformed if I do it appropriately. So what is Simeon doing? Simeon has waited a long time. He's an older man at this point in time. In fact, he's looking forward to basically his time of departure from this world. He's getting ready to die. But he knows that he's been told by the Holy Spirit he's not going to die until he sees the consolation of Israel. The consolation of Israel is a technical term. It basically refers to the Messiah. And it comes out of places like the prophet Isaiah, where Isaiah 40 says, "Comfort, comfort my people," where God is describing that he is the one that is going to comfort his people. And so for a person like Simeon, consolation, comfort, really was found in God. And God had told him, you're going to see Israel's consolation. You're going to see the comfort of Israel. You're going to see the thing that's been described. This thing that everybody's been waiting for a really long time. The intertestamental period was roughly 400 years, and they speak of it as the time of silence. We don't have a lot of scripture after Malachi. We don't have a lot of stuff going on before the Gospels. You got 400 years of what they describe as silence. And they're waiting. They're waiting for what God is going to give them by way of comfort. So two things that are going on here. The first one, Simeon is paying attention to what the prophets have said before about the consolation of Israel. He's paying attention to God's word. If we're going to wait appropriately, one of the things that we need to do is understand what does it mean to practice being attentive to the things that God says in the scriptures. And he pays attention to the scriptures because it's there that he begins to understand and recognize what the voice of God sounds like and what he should be watching for. When you come to the scriptures, it's not about this idea that if you read your Bible, that somehow you're more righteous than the guy next to you that's not reading his Bible. Reading your Bible just positions you to be able to hear the voice of God and to recognize the voice of God. Too often we've put it up on a pedestal and made it this thing that if you do this, somehow you're a good person. And I just want to tell you, that ain't going to do it. But it will potentially place you where you can hear God's voice and recognize God's voice. When my dad was in World War II, my sister was, he went off to war. He was a doctor and he was a Marine and stormed the beaches of Okinawa. I always thought that was fascinating. He said, I didn't do it with a gun. I had two medical kits that I was carrying as I was running through the ocean water, and they were shooting at us. I thought, fascinating life, okay? When he went off to war, my mom engaged in a particular practice. The practice that she had with my sister, who was about two, was every day she'd pull out a picture up of my dad, and she'd show him that picture. And she'd say, this is your father. This is your father. Because when my dad returned from the war, she wanted her daughter, his daughter, to recognize him. When you come to the scriptures, one of the things that you're doing is you're putting that picture of Jesus before you every day so that in all the ordinary places of your life, you might be able to recognize him. That he won't be some vague idea. He will be the person that you know. Because you've watched him in the pages. You've seen him there. So if you're going to wait appropriately, practice, spend time in Scripture. But also, Simeon does this thing where he's paying attention to the Holy Spirit. So three times the Spirit is mentioned right in that initial section about Simeon. It says that the Spirit was upon him. It says the Spirit had revealed to him or told him what he was going to see. And finally, it says that the Spirit moves him into the very courts of the temple. One of the things to notice is that where the Spirit is moving and pushing you in your life, it will always be into the presence of Jesus. So when the Spirit is moving, you need to pay attention. And too often, we are more dismissive than discerning. We dismiss those impressions, those things that are going on inside of us, instead of just being discerning and saying, Lord, is this you? And if you want to know where the Spirit is, I'll tell you a real simple thing. If you want to know if this impression is of the Spirit, is it leading you into the places of loving better? And is it leading you into places where Jesus is exalted more? Just those are two simple things. There are lots more ways to discern, but those are just a couple. My wife and I were in San Francisco before Christmas. San Francisco's a zoo. It was part of my waiting experience. But as we walk the streets of San Francisco, one of the things you see is the sense of the homeless that are there. Now, I don't have to go to San Francisco to see homeless people. I can see them right here in my community. But they are out there. And I watched my wife as we went into a Starbucks down by the pier, or down by the ferry building. She went to the Starbucks, and there was a homeless person, at least I'm pretty sure he was a homeless person, that was in line right behind her, and I watched her, and I'm sitting over kind of with our stuff, and I watch her in that line, turn around to this guy, and basically say, can I get you your coffee? Can I get you something here? He said, there's a list of things. And she said, can I get you your coffee? The thing that I love about my wife is how sensitive she is to the Spirit. Sensitive to those moments where the Spirit is just saying, move. Move into a place where love can be expressed and experienced. Isn't that cool? All of us are receiving those kinds of impressions. The more you dismiss them, the more they will become vague to you. My encouragement to you is not to necessarily respond to every impression you have, but to be discerning about the impressions you have. Not to dismiss them, but to take enough time to say, where is this coming from? And then, when you sense God's presence, to move. Two practices. Pay attention to the Scriptures and pay attention to the impressions of the Spirit. The second thing was not just this waiting in an appropriate way, but Simeon also was welcoming in an appropriate way, and we need to learn what it means to welcome appropriately. So what does Simeon do when he enters the courts of the temple? He sees immediately this couple with a child, and he takes that couple in their arms. They've come for a particular purpose. They've come for these to offer a sacrifice, to enter into the purification rites that occur after you've given birth, all this kind of stuff. They've come into that moment led by the Scriptures. Isn't that fascinating? It even talks, it uses a little word custom there, as was the custom that the Lord had required. Word custom is the word that we get our word ethos from, or culture, or custom. What is it that is defining the custom of both Simeon and Mary and Joseph? It is the Scripture. They're breathing that atmosphere and living out of that atmosphere. So they arrive at a particular place by that sense of following the word. Simeon arrives at that particular place by following the Spirit. At the intersection of Word and Spirit, who do you discover there? Jesus. So here they are. They've all kind of collected in that place. I'm Mary and Joseph. I walk into the temple and some strange guy comes up and takes my baby. That's a little frightening, okay? But then he just goes off. And he just lifts up that child in his arms and embraces this child. The word take into his arms, the word take there is a Greek word that basically means to receive with welcome. And every day of your life, Jesus wants to be received with welcome into what you're doing. He wants to be that one that you embrace wholeheartedly. And he holds up that baby and he says, now your servant can be dismissed in peace because I've seen the salvation of the Lord. When we think of salvation, a lot of times we think of doctrine, we think of orthodoxy, we think of a particular way to be saved. We have a lot of information that we associate with salvation. Isn't it interesting that when Simeon sees Jesus, he identifies salvation with a person? And when we are prone to grab all our answers and put them together and say, this is what my faith is, God calls us to remember that our faith is about a person and connecting and embracing that person. How will you welcome appropriately Jesus as you move into the new year? When you arrive at the places of that intersection of word and spirit, what do you do then? You see, for many people, Jesus becomes not someone to welcome, he becomes an intrusion. If you have a plan and Jesus steps in, there's a chance that his plan may be different than yours. Whoa, okay, now I loved Jesus when he was a little baby in a manger scene, but now he's the king that's coming in with a whole agenda. And I'm not so sure that I'm as excited about that. Jesus longs to be embraced by you, welcomed by you, in all the various aspects of your life. And that can be a little uncomfortable because sometimes he comes in and he says, you know what, you really don't need that. What you deemed so important, Jesus might look at and say, that's not as important as you make it out to be. I mean, this morning, I had all these great ideas for that children's sermon. It was fascinating. I had props. I always love to do children's sermons with props because you have protection. You know? Should someone choose to throw something at you, you can hold things up and block. And we drove out of the house, and we were third of the way here, and I just went, oh, I forgot my prop. And Jesus was like in the car saying, you don't need the prop. You need me. We debated about that one a little bit on the way to church. Okay? You see, if Jesus comes, things are going to be different. If he enters your life, things are going to be different. You can't have two kingdoms going on at the same time. And if the king comes, things are going to be different. The question is, will you, like Simeon, recognize Jesus for who he is, your salvation, and embrace him in that place? And will you leave that place satisfied like Simeon did? Now you can dismiss me. I've had it. I've held and embraced Jesus. Will that be enough? And so in my life, I always have to look and say, yeah, but I really like my family. Jesus says, am I enough? If your family is not there, am I enough? I really like singing a song for people. If you don't get to do that anymore, am I enough? I like speaking every once in a while. If you don't get to do that, is that enough? If you find yourself without the capacity to do, will I be enough? Will you welcome Jesus appropriately? The third thing is this: to witness appropriately, to learn what it means to witness. And the thing that Simeon does has this dual kind of sense, two branches. The first thing he does is he praises. And his witness is about praising God, about saying, this is the greatest gift I've ever received. And a lot of us, we're frightened of witnessing in any way because we look at it as having to go through some, you know, set of little booklets or something like that, having all the right things to say. And all Simeon did was say, hey, look, this is Jesus that I've gotten to experience, and it's incredible. He gives praise to God for what God has done. Are you able to do that? One of the things I really enjoy out of this passage is it says that Mary and Joseph marveled at the words of Simeon. They marveled at the things he was saying about their child. Now, I would have thought that was pretty understandable, except for the fact that when the angel came to Mary, she marveled then. When she went to be with Elizabeth, Elizabeth said all sorts of things about the child in her, and she marveled then. When Joseph heard from the angel, he marveled then. And now they're in this place where Simeon's saying something. They've heard this stuff. It's not like new news, but it hasn't gotten old. And I think for some of us, what happens is Jesus is old news. Not good news. And you have the opportunity to stand with the one that in a sense embraces you just the way you are and loves you and heals the brokenness of your life. That's a pretty incredible thing. But not only is there praise in his witness, but there's also this prophetic word, a word that comes not just from him, but comes from all of the prophets that came before, especially Isaiah. Simeon says this. He blesses Mary and Joseph, and I'm thinking, if this is the blessing I'm going to get, I'm really not sure I want to hear this, because it is not pleasant. It's not nice. It's hard words. This child will cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel. He will be a sign that is spoken against. Whoops, I'll come down. And he will expose or reveal the thoughts of many hearts. And if that's not enough, Mary, your own soul, your own emotional psyche will be penetrated, will be pierced. There will be pain. Now, if I gave you that sort of a blessing, you might want to go somewhere else for a blessing. You might consider saying, you know what? I think down the street there's another church that's telling me something that's a little more pleasant than that. But what you have to understand is that to engage in the comforting of the human race, Jesus had to identify with the suffering of the human race. And all of Scripture has moved in this counterintuitive direction, where the king comes not on this stallion with a sword in his hand, conquering the world. He comes in the form of a fragile, innocent baby. He comes humiliated. He comes rejected. And he does it so that we might rise again. He identifies with each of us in the place of our suffering. And he moves with us into the place of resurrection. Carries us there. And that's our witness. That when there is suffering, Jesus understands and has compassion. When there is pain, Jesus recognizes the pain. And when there's a phone, he knows that that means something. But he knows your situation and identifies with you there. And that's something to talk about. That's something to give to the world. One of the great things about this is when Simeon describes Jesus, he says that he will be a light to the Gentiles. He'll be the Savior of the nations. The one who has come has this sense of big arms that embraces all. And it is your life filled and embracing the life of Jesus that presents that picture to the world. The way you embrace Jesus is the way the world will see Jesus, and the way they will touch Jesus, and the way they will know Jesus. We have a great opportunity as we move into a new year to pay attention to lessons that come at this time. Lessons of waiting, lessons of welcome, lessons of witness. Let's pray together.